I'm going to read a lot of verses, so don't go back and forth. Otherwise you'll just be finding the place around 3 verses away. And you know these verses, but I want you to listen to them in your heart, not in your head. You may put that down. Yeah. You see, that's right. No one gives a comment down. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, we read, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. To everything there's a season, God says. There are 4 seasons: spring, summer, autumn, and winter. In the spring, the flower buds, life. In the summer, it spreads forth its petals in full bloom. In the autumn, it begins to wilt and fade. In the winter, it dies. Now God says to everything, there's a season. Not just that flower, to you. In a time, every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. Staggering words. Sorry about this. You live and you love every hour. The future seems so bright and so calm, and soon, like that sad rooted flower, the world seems to lose all its charm, and soon it's passed, flown away, and all that's left are tears and strife. You're alone at the end of the day, and you wonder what became of life. In Job 14, verse 1, we read, man that is born of a woman is of few days. Don't doubt that. Don't doubt that. And oh, eternity, you never had a second chance. Careful with those few days. That's all you've got. This is the one sitting there, and this is the one sitting here. The greatest shock we ever going to have in life is how short life is. In a moment, it's gone. They don't know that yet, but they will any moment now. Man is born of woman is a few days, God says, and full of trouble. If you don't know that yet, brace yourself. I want to meet the man, even millionaires. I've met them, billionaires. Who laugh with me and one minute later they found a guilty. Man that is born of woman is a few days, God says, and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down, and fleeth away as a shadow. He continueth not. In a brief moment, this moment called life, that's all we have. And don't doubt it, that's all you've got. In a brief moment, this moment called life, we will all swiftly cry, what Isaiah 38 verse 12 says, mine age is departed. Literally in the Hebrew, my lifespan is gone. My life is gone. Psalm 89 verse 48 asks, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Can he deliver his soul from the grave? God asks. God asks. There is no man that had power over the spirit, neither had he power in the day of death. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 8. Thou shalt return unto the ground, God says. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 3 verse 19. All turn to dust again. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 20. Then man goeth to his long home. The Hebrew here is eternal home. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 5. And shall the dust return to the earth as it was? And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7. There their beauty will consume in the grave. Psalm 49 verse 14. Psalm 90 verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. I'm 65. The United Nations put out a survey. Don't know how they get all these things, but generally, not certain privileged people and classes. Generally, no one, 92% of the world's population will never reach beyond 70. Many nations, it doesn't reach beyond 35. Do you know that? Through the poverty, the sicknesses, the malnutrition, the diseases, and the lack of food, even to children who don't reach in their millions past the age of 6. Did you know that? Be careful. The days of our years are 70. God says, that's generally, according to the United Nations, who didn't consult the Bible. The days of our year are 70, the Bible says. That's 70. And if by reason of strength, they be 80. That's 80. If somehow through privileged living, careful living, using your common sense and not defiling the health God's given you or abusing it. If by reason of strength, whatever the circumstances were that brought that about, that you could go past what God says most people will never go past, they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow and it is soon cut off, we fly away. If you go beyond 70, God says it's going to not be easy. My mother is 91. My mother is a remarkable woman. Remarkable woman. Next week she's so remarkable that I marvel. I marvel at her uniqueness and goodness. When my mother went years beyond other people. I'm 65, my mother's still alive. Most people don't have that, but she's a wonderful, wonderful person. My darling mother. But there was an age when suddenly we had to restrict her, and that was not easy for my mother, trust me. I'll never forget when we said, you can't drive anymore. Oh, she was indignant. Don't you dead. Think of her. She hid the keys. She parked the car somewhere. Incredibly impressed with her about when her mother, of course, couldn't drive anymore. I said, Mother, you're 80 something years old. And Mother, you've never been a careful driver. You are really got to stop. No way. They had to come while she was sleeping and steal it, and she took weeks to even speak to him. She was so angry. Well, that's Mother. But Mother, when she went past a certain age, she began to do things no one ever dreamed Mother in her capacity, because she felt bad. I mean, really bad. Hospitalized. Oh, stitches. Blood open. And Mother, what are we going to do with you? And as the years went by, more and more, you know, her sister-in-law, my daddy's sister, they were childhood friends like this. They are the closest friends to this day, openly, my dear. But the two of them were walking in the supermarket with one of these trolleys, you know, you push these things. And they collided. And they were hospitalized.
Oh, no.
So I said, how are you possible? Collided each other. It's so bad. I mean, hospitalized. You know, don't know how to answer me. Right. One day she was falling, and I said to the lady, now look, we've put her in, taken away from the cottage, and she was so grateful to her. She was really privileged. Mother has been privileged anyway, through her. But we put her into this wonderful place, and I said, now listen, sister, to the sisters and these. Take every single thing inside, but there's nothing for her to fall over. So they did. Oh, they phoned me. I'm 1,000 miles. Your mother's in hospital. Oh, she's in hospital. So her mother, there was nothing in that room before her. How could you possibly have fallen? Wait until you are 90. Yes, okay. When I look at her and marvel at her, what she is, I weep. I literally weep sometimes into the nights at the labor and sorrow. If by reason of strength they go beyond what God says, their strength is labor and sorrow. It is not easy, let me tell you. Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days. Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end, the measure of my days, what it is that I may know, how frail I am, literally how short my time is. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, not rubbish. What do you want to call it? Oh God, Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to a wisdom, God says. But there is no man that hath power over the Spirit, God says. Neither had he power in the day of his death. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. Voltaire. He was a French intellectual in the day of intellectualism that swept across Europe. Okay, he was aristocracy. He was what we would call a billionaire, a multi-billionaire in today's terms. That's why he had a voice that people listened to. He was really so wealthy that they put him into the class of one of the 5 richest men on earth, above royalty and monarchies. That's why they feared Voltaire. He was not just an intellectual aristocrat, he was wealth, the wealth of the world. And men take notice of you, even if you are very, very foolish when you have wealth. They quote you because you're successful. Well, Voltaire spent his life aggressively and with his intellectuals, opposing the viability of God. The possible viability that there could be a God. So he paved the way for evolution. Darwinism had its founding in Voltaire. He had all these ideas, you know. Voltaire read through the Bible 28 times, from cover to cover. They went to hell. Reading the Bible doesn't say. And he read it carefully. Why? To disprove its divine authority. He said, if I can find one error, one contradiction that proves the Bible is not divinely inspired, if I can just find one. So he read and he wrote this book. And by the way, have you seen most of its copies? Black leather, golden word, golden leafed, old word. It's the Bible. Atheists. It's a religion. Now, Voltaire, spending his life that they sent from Paris and proceeded 50 miles from here, I don't know how that's possible, but they said the flames of Bibles as people across intellectual Europe in the time of intellectualism. Through Voltaire, you could see the flames of the Bible burning. And that was staggering. Voltaire, to this day, has been responsible for millions, multitudes of millions of people denying the existence of God. The possibility of there being a God, or the viability of God having created. Well, we don't go into all the arguments that show the folly of it, but Voltaire did it. But now this is a shock. Voltaire was not an old man. He was in the prime of life, and revered and feared, as few men in history, and influential as few men in history. Voltaire suddenly found out he had 6 months to live, at the most. No symptoms. The world's greatest physician, he was being given more money by Voltaire than the royal family could give him. So that's why the greatest physician acknowledged on earth in his lifetime was Voltaire's personal physician. Money. The best there was with a team. But Voltaire said to his personal physician, with a lot of people present, I will give you half of all that I possess on earth. He would have been one of the richest men on earth in one moment if he could do it. If you would but extend my life for 6 months. That's all I ask, 6 months. And I give you half of all I possess on earth. He would have been a multi-billionaire this doctor. The team and the doctor eventually, not at that moment, looked at him in despair. So there's nothing medical science can do to extend one day to your life. No matter what we give you. You know what Voltaire's answer was? This is staggering. As he wept in fear. Tell me you're an atheist when you face death. No, he didn't say that, I'm saying it. Voltaire, weeping, cried out, I am abandoned by God. I wish they'd write that in the front of the Bible, of the Voltaire opposition to the Bible. To disprove it, that it's taken intellectuals who want anything, even trash, so long as they can deny the existence of God. Whether they can face it one day, do you come to the have any account? Oh no. They say for the last month of his life, especially, you could hear the screams of this one man blocks away. Blocks away. In fear of facing God. The God he denied, he had fear. Screaming. They could hear Voltaire screaming blocks away. You can't hide it, you atheists. Too many heard. too many witnessed, too many wrote about it, including his personal nurse in the end, because the doctor abandoned him. And what was he screaming? God have mercy on my soul. Oh, God have mercy. He found no peace with God. Don't play the fool with God. Don't play the fool with God. He died screaming to his last breath. But he agonized and kept rolling off that bed shower onto the floor like an animal screaming in fear. Not a pain of fear facing God. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit God warns. Neither hath he power in the day of his death. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. I was preaching in the southern part of Africa along the coast, a very beautiful place called Niger. The wealthy love to retire there. But I was preaching and a doctor came up to me attending one of the services where I was preaching. And he told me of something that really shook me. He said, today, I shamed a man when I got all the tests back, and his wife, and I said, you have 2 weeks at the most to live. Now, Brother Daniel, there was no symptoms until all this moment when he suddenly came and he found, without any warning from God, you have 2 weeks at the most to live. That can happen. Now he was a very wealthy man. And the doctor said to me, the man stood up and sobbed uncontrollably, screaming. He just lost control of his emotions. And his wife hugging him just sobbed, and the two of them just screaming in shock. He didn't know what to do with the doctor. He just stood there helpless. But I have to be honest, I can't deny where man was there. So the man eventually said to the doctor, he said, sir, I'm a very wealthy man, I will make you a millionaire. Medical science is doing many things. Even if I become a guinea pig, but don't tell me you're not going to try. Fly me to America. They said, it doesn't matter, money means nothing. I'm not ready to die. I cannot die. You have to put a strong team to the medical science. There's bed and no dead, but there's nothing to answer at all. I cannot die now. You've got to help me. Now the doctor looked at me and said, brother, I looked at him and I said, sir, there's nothing. Medical science has. Nothing in the world that I can offer to extend your life. But I can offer you eternal life. I cannot offer you to extend your life one day on this earth, but I can offer you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Bible saying. The wage of sin, the reward, the result of sin on mankind is death. But the gift, now actually the literal Greek says, is eternal death. It's a state that isn't cut off, it's just called death, the second death. The wages of sin, the ultimate end, is not just physical death, but eternal death. But the free gift of God, says the literal translation, is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, he said, I explained the gospel to him. I gave him the verses of Christ, the verses of the Holy God. And the man and his wife knelt, and he just cried out to God to give him this gift of eternal life, not just a few months extra. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life. Hebrews 9:27. You see, I began the sermon with these words. It is appointed. If that's an appointment, you see the head of the head of London. God says, He's sovereign. He's God. He's eternal. Don't try and understand Him. Just accept and believe Him. There's no understanding, okay? The concept of God is beyond our comprehension. You've got to just understand this one thing about God. Obey Him. Or face eternal consequences. It is appointed unto men once to die, God says. But the verse does not stop there, and I would be a hypocrite in the pulpit of God if I stopped there. But after this, the judgment. Okay. We read through 28 times. You would have read that a few times, okay, no wonder you were in the state you were. Mm-hmm. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, God says, not me, the judgment. The judgment. Judgment! Oh, prepare thyself to meet with thy God. Amos tells us in chapter 4, Peter, prepare thyself. God said to you, leave to meet with thy God. Amos 4, verse 12. In Romans 8, verse 1, God promises, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And God cannot lie or deny what He says. Mm-hmm. You have no condemnation. There's no judgment will come upon anyone in Christ Jesus. God promises. The wages of sin is death. Yes, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God promises. Psalm 49, verse 15. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He promised. I will ransom them, God says, from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death, God says. In Hosea 13, verse 14. 1 Peter 8, 1 verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, received from tradition by your heritage, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. God says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's by grace through faith, being justified freely by grace through faith in His blood, Romans tells us. So we come to God with the promise of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Being justified freely by grace through faith in His death. Not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. For by grace we saved through faith. Not yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. To him that worketh not, believeth on him and justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. In one moment, God declares him righteous. By grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin, Romans 3, verse 25, 24 and 25. The last enemy that shall be destroyed, God says, is death. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. We all have to face this enemy. God calls death an enemy. Whether you're saved or unsaved, it is still one enemy you will face. Wait until you face it. Even if you're saved, it's an enemy. It's not going to be easy. But you will face it. But you can die with God's peace, even though you might have to face suffering, which is why it's an enemy. No matter how you have to die, you can face it with God's peace that passes all understanding concerning facing God for eternity. You can actually long for death. You have no fear of judgment. precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sandals. Psalm 116, verse 15, precious. Oh yes, I suppose there's many people that have died. I don't know why God required that of me. And it was not easy for me to face. But for some reason I was called to many by families of my people as they died. And I understand, and I mean this, what God means when he says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because I stood with those who are not saved as they died in Bethlehem by names. But those that died with Christ in their hearts, it was a testimony. Not only to me, but to the doctors, the nurses, and the family. To know and to see that written across a life. Precious. In the sight of the Lord and in me is the death of God's saints in me today. The righteous had hope in his death. Proverbs 14, verse 32. His heart cries, O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is my victory? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. The sting of death is sin. That's what makes death a real prophet. What about my sin? Conscience? Common sense tells me I wouldn't be given a conscience if I'm not accountable to the God who gave it. The sting of death is sin. Verse 56. We fear death because of our sin. But Hebrews 2, verse 9 tells us that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He would face death literally for every man who would have all been to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. And that through death, this Savior, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, would face death for every man, and that he, through death, Hebrews 2 verse 40, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2 verse 8, he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There is fear. Oh, that he might deliver them from that fear. Hebrews 2 verse 15, Hebrews 1 from 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. 1 John 3 14. If you don't know that, you're not saved, you're still going to hell. Don't tell me that God mocks us when he says we will know. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, the children of God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. So, oh God, lies. God's word is a lie, if that isn't the truth. You know, we have peace that passes all understanding when it comes to facing death in its context. God's peace that passes all understanding. There's no comprehending it. But God gives it because the Holy Spirit, not a sitting on your back, not some emotional thing going on. No. Just a consciousness. Yesterday, I couldn't look at anybody in the spirit and honestly say without lying, I know I'm going to heaven. But today I can. I can look at the whole world and without any hypocrisy or any fear of being done by God. I can look, though I couldn't say yesterday, and say, I'm sure I'm saved. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit, not feelings, a conscience, inner conscience, inner conscience that God gives that you know we've passed from death unto life. We know! But if you don't know, don't tell me God died like that for you. And then save your soul and won't bear witness with your spirit and leads you to doubt and fear. That you might still go to hell in your way, sir. Oh, I believe doubts can come in sickness and when mental fatigue comes through long and prolonged. I believe things can happen to our mind that we need, like Pilgrim's Progress, you know. When pilgrims are dying and going through the river hard to the other side, there were the angels, the pallbearers waiting to escort him, but he had to go through the river. And so doubts come to him. Oh, John Bunyan was wonderful. He kind of knew just what people would face. And next place it lies to many godly people that as they die, they need someone like hopeful. Thank God for a dream like that. And he just whispered from the Bible, reassuring what God had promised. And he heard the promises. Peace to the mother of his heart as he died. So, yes, so we've been having to whisper it to our body, loved ones, and our friends. But the word is strength coming by the word of God. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Even at death, but it says he was to be the greatest theologian that ever lived. Outside the Bible. But now, yes. He, by the grace of God, should face death for every man, God says, Hebrew 2 verse 9. That through death, Hebrew 2 verse 14, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2 verse 8, he might deliver them who through fear of death, but all their lifetime, subject to bondage, that's fear. Hebrew 2 verse 8. We know that we pass from death unto life, God says. God's word says, John says in 1 John 3 verse 14, there is no condemnation. Him which is in Jesus Christ, Romans 8 verse 1. That's what our hope is, an inner consciousness, an inner awareness that you don't doubt it. You know you will not face eternal judgment once you've been saved. Revelation 14 verse 13 proclaims blessed. I love that word. You won't find it in new translations. Blessed are the dead. The dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, hallelujah. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. What a Savior. What a Savior. But death, this is the last enemy. We must not deny death in our pulpits. I sure that when my father died. First Corinthians 15:26. I was with the man of God. Greatly revered and greatly feared. He was a leader of many, you said, not only one. He was so capable and he was so strong in his personality. One look and you ran. When we were young, missionaries didn't have to say a word. One look, we all ran. Yes, he was a great leader and had a great influence in Africa, across Africa, to many multitudes of people. But he had a heart attack and I went to the hospital and I couldn't believe how a man of such strength could look so totally. The helplessness, every bit of strength, gone, impurity, nothing of authority, nothing, just total helplessness and cost on God to die. He said these words to me, Keith, the Bible says death is the last enemy, death is an enemy. But a wonderful thing, Brother Keith, to me, though I know I'm facing the last enemy out of the face of life now, this thing called death, is that because of my faith in Jesus Christ, I have no fear of judgment. I have absolute peace that absent from the body and prison of the Lord. And that is the wonder of the gospel. In spite of having to face death, the gospel does not deal with that physical death. It deals with eternal death. I was with one of the great theologians of Africa, Calvin Cook. He was the dean of the largest theological seminar in Africa, one of the largest, the University of Grahamstown, for longer than any other dean. But his mother, his godly mother, Calvin Cook's mother, she had been a missionary in Africa for many years. And she always attended me, my meetings, from when I was a young fellow, for the fire, not much reason, not all that godly woman was there for me. So, the years went by, I go back to this town, and there's a little letter on the pulpit, a little note. Friend, I am close to death. That is why I'm not with you tonight. No one told me. Come and pray. Tomorrow. Through my way. Oh, I couldn't believe this woman. What in 2 years was left of her? I just couldn't believe. What was she left of her? And there she was nagging in her weakness and frailty. Hanging on to life. She smiled. Gentle smile. You came. after so many multitudes. And Lord, it would be in my heart to hear her, to spare the kingdom and the family for her prayers and words. Have mercy, Lord, would thou not consider the possibility of healing her strength? She said, stop. So I opened my eyes. Tell God you're sorry. Apologize. I don't want to then. I've had my time. Now, don't you tell God to heal me. You ask God to take me now. Have you ever prayed for someone to die? So I said, the Lord, it would be in my heart to deliver her from her suffering. She died.
Wow.
Oh yes. The Bible speaks of a time when we become conscious that we are prisoners of the earth. Prisoners in the earth, God says. What does that mean? Zoe 3:2, which long for death. Those which long for death that cometh not. You're not scared of dying, you're scared of living any longer. It's suddenly now. This is the enemy that God warns us from evil faces. Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in vain. Together until now, you don't know that creation is sad. If you think everybody out there having a bit of a time, you're wrong. Rather go down to a street before the end of the street, and they were honest and told you who we think what you what they're facing around you, especially those who are not saved. But we know that the whole creation, Paul says, groaneth and travaileth. Even if there's your boys and girls in their millions right now, you wouldn't want to be in their pain or situation. In their millions right now, you see. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that's the deliverance, with the redemption of our body. The time will swiftly come when we will long let go of this life. You don't think so? In a moment, it's long for death, but it cometh not. To everything, there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born. And then you'll find Ecclesiastes speaks of a time to gather stones, a time. That's the things every one of us face in his life. Work out the vanity of it. And stop. It happens. That's life. And then it comes to this moment called death. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, but there must be this also, a time to be born again.
Yes.
Or you didn't know why you were given the gift of God. And you didn't even consider it. That all there is to it is to live like you want to. It doesn't matter what you do. It already happens. You go 6 feet down to the ground, wooden box, that's it. No dip further. That's just not true. And the moment you die, not a year later, even an hour later, even 2 minutes later, if you have not prepared to meet a God, you will be plunged into hell. You don't wait for the great white throne set that covered with death and hell will be cast into the lake. The moment you die, if you're not saved, your judgment is made for hell. For eternity. For Christ lied. In one statement after the other about what happens the moment a person dies without God. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, but there is a time to be born town called Christmas Rock. Big rock. And everyone in town there was just tame from that part of the country in the early days, 100 years ago, 37. But Christmas Rock, sure, it's a community now, the Mofido tribe people, and holiday things. Very lovely place. And I've been there many times in the wine shirt it holds at every single religion uses. But nonetheless, Christmas Rock, the man and woman I lived with, godly people. But they had a father. He was way in his 80s, close to 90. Didn't speak English. Speak Afrikaans, which is the language generally of many millions of people in South America, which derived from the French, Dutch, German, into what is a very unique language called Afrikaans. Now, when I was there in their home, I realized this man was not saved. But I arrived there one day and they decided to do something to get people to come. Because the church wasn't as full as they liked it to be, so the next time I came, they said, well, they're not going to come to church, just give them some other way. So they advertised in a very wonderful way about a breakfast service. There you are, Mary Beth. It's very hard for a human, no matter how much is against religion, to say no to the one meeting this town has never had before, a breakfast service where you are given a meal. On the condition that you get another bit of food, a meal, you see, after which you have to listen to the gospel.
Right.
So, of course, the whole town comes. Everyone was there. The place was open. Oh, it works. It won't work, you see. So, they had the word there that the whole Christmas Rock was there, including the holidays. Roman cottage was down, you see, and how they bought. So I'm sitting here looking around. The old man, close to 90, who didn't speak good English, he spoke only Afrikaans. Many of them don't know how to say a word. The European, but they don't know how to say a word in English. They're very limited anyway. So, he decided, well, the whole town was going. I had to go. My son-in-law and daughter arranged the meetings. So, seeing everyone's going, I'm going, even though it's going to be chaos. That means the fails at all. The enemy's name, since the Boer War never stopped, by the way. So we like Russia War. People are still fighting. But anyway. Fine, that's the only time they're going to drink. You want to try preaching? As if he's dying. I went with Lonnie and he did before I preached it, otherwise it would have prematurely. But I'm going to preach it one day. This subculture that's risen, you can't believe what I'm going to preach about what they're doing in me. Goodness, they don't do it to me anymore. I've seen them. I walked up to one man and said to him, you had 6 cups of coffee while that sun was on. Do you normally have 6 cups of coffee in 1 hour? And why? When God's word. Do you have to stay alive like you're going to die, getting up, going back to the cutting tree? Why then? We have a picnic these days in God's house. So I decided to get all the brethren to God. There's just something happening. The preacher has to look at these guys, you know, No. Anyway, let's not preach it prematurely, keep up. Nonetheless, they finish with their breakfast and they finish with their coffee because I said every cup must be taken off the table before I preach, and they do it here. Anyway, now it's all there, they can't grab anything, they just sit to sit. And I began to preach. So I'm preaching in English. So the old man thinks to himself, this old Afrikaans man, English. Will I tell him I better listen? They're all listening. I can't understand this language of the fame, the enemy. But I'm going to sit and behave myself. He wasn't too happy to be there with an Englishman preaching, trust me. Nonetheless, there I am preaching. Then he thinks to himself, and besides being English, you can hardly hear a word the old man says. Why didn't he raise his voice? So he we've really angered the sort of men we are. Well, this young man, anyway. But, dear old Wardner, can hardly hear more of you. He was really angry. The wrong language, and this man doesn't even raise his voice. Can hardly hear more. Anyway, he's sitting here now. And he is listening to the best of his ability just to behave himself. But he's not interested. So suddenly, said, wonderful, you know, I just began to quote Jesus' word to the old man called Nicodemus in John 3, where the exposition of John takes Christ's words and he expounds the whole concept of the gospel, John 3:16, and the judgment that comes if you reject it, John 17, right through to 3. Well, the whole concept is then chapter 3 in a staggering way, which is why it's one of the most preached, if not the most preached, chapter on earth, worldwide, because of the whole concept and the exposition that John magazine was given by God to bring the whole gospel to what Christ said to this religious old man. I was seeking God, and he didn't know if God managed it this way, he did this something so totally different that he became like that. This man, who didn't know it was God, and Christ said to Nicodemus, you don't know. You that the religious teacher, religious man, the ordained religion of God, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no possibility of him of eternal life with God. So Nicodemus, who didn't have commentaries or Bible to read like us, you know what's going on. He said, well, people have said, how can a man be born again? Can he go in his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, no. How is it possible you can't cross that? With all your integrity and fear of God, how is it possible you can cross this? That if he's born of the flesh, to put it in a nutshell, Christ said, yes, it's flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is Spirit. That which is born of the flesh. Look at demons when you're born. You aren't born a child of God. No one is. All you are at that moment is a child of your father and mother, but you're not God's child. You must be born again to that happen. Not physically, obviously, because it involves the intellect, the will. But they can't do that. But to be born of the Spirit, that the work of God in your heart as a result of your obedience and acceptance to what God asks of you, this birth where you become a child of God in one moment by grace and faith in the death of Jesus Christ, now this birth is a work of God, the Holy Ghost in you, that takes your free will to embrace and appropriate. This makes you a child of God in one moment, just like you were born, and you have the day, you have the year, and you can even take a physical place and spot. So you will have the day you're born, of course. And so everybody that knows you, why not you have been born again? And the place, no one will doubt, is a baby in the room. He's not a child. Suddenly, everyone on earth will see anyone who's not saved. I can't. Everyone that knows him. Or is this book? Even a boy, when a child, even a child, you know about a word. Pray me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, even if he's a small change. And everyone that knows him in the house will see him. Why does he bear that? Now, I cried out these words, you must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot. You preachers, I said, it get cold and the hair stands up on your head. If you hear this word, you must be born again. You who are a servant of the devil. And you say that what Christ says has to happen, or you'll never get to heaven. You said you won't have it in your book, but you don't doubt it, you are the devil. If you keep those words of Christ out, What the fuck? And keep people from hearing him. You're not having your book. What are you then? If you have to deny what Jesus said is the one thing that must happen.
No.
Even to a religious man. Or even to a gay man. There has to be a day of a new birth. When you become God's child and one person is born there, you must be born again. And it's involved with the whole concept of the exposition that John gives, that God may have given John 3 is there. Or judgment, eternal judgment. This is the condemnation that light's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. You choose to reject Christ. Don't tell me you don't. You choose. It's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this upper-class old man suddenly heard these little words, he must be born again. To an old man called Nicodemus, who said, how is it you don't know? No, you're born a child. God, you're born a child. You're born a child. Suddenly he was... Now he really was. Whoa! For the first time in life.
Mm-hmm.
can do this now as your freeman. You went on his knees, you cried, weeping to God, screaming his name for God to have mercy on him. He never knew this one, never loved God to destroy him. And he was mightily saved. It was a decree that when his son came through the door, that's best to hold to lie. You don't change the old man. A bomb doesn't. God does. This man says to his son, I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I do not face any judgment. I'm born again. I'm God's child. Oh, you know, but you're not saved. The Holy Spirit poured into that man in God's faithfulness and blood, and he tormented another second by that God's blood, that God's God washed him, and he allowed God witnesses to wash him, and we'll pass together. Now, the son was so thrilled, so amazing, his weight broke off. And the daughter, and then he's in the wind. In his hand is Father. Robert's mother. Where's mother? Where's mommy? There was dead silence. Where is poor mother? I have lived with wanting in my heart and it be reconciled to her. She never knew this. I know your mother. She never knew this. You like me, said to believe, but she never did this. Daddy, you'll never see mother again. But Daddy, you'll see us. The moment we get there, for eternity, you'll be with us. He went on his knees again, and he sobbed for 1 hour uncontrollably on his knees. They could be left. We left. He died before the year was up when we returned. But he told me something wonderful. He took his Bible and the verses he was shown by that man, and then he heard me preach. Another verse he summoned him, and he went to every single home in the entire town. Now that is a new life for us. Whether they were holidaymakers, whether they were empty, he left tracks. Actually, no, he didn't leave tracks, he wrote it a little later. These verses are in every single home we already know. But every single home where someone answered that door, and he couldn't give in that community, he wept and opened the Bible and said, church all my life. And my wife, you knew her. We'll never see her again because she didn't notice. But you left it already. They can be me. You do what I have done. Or go to hell. He begged everything. Many young people have never been to visiting a house and make a visit. This is too much for them. Leave that to the old witnesses. Even though they say no now. Religion. You know, I never consider that old man, when he found eternal life, couldn't stop with the most gift he had in life to tell everyone that he could, and there was not one home left in the entire community that had not heard from his lips what happened to his wife. The witness of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth, fadeth away. But the word of the Lord, God's promises, abideth forever. There's no such a thing as ever being wiped away. And the word, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh, seek God swiftly while you're young, if you're still young, before the days come. Ecclesiastes tells us, when you will look back and say, oh, I have no blessing. I wasted life. It's more than good life. Best opportunity, another opportunity to witness it, to tell us one another. See if you can know why he may be found with this proclamation. It's a warning, not a promise. Tomorrow may never come. You think that's not a right statement? I've preached, whereas I'm preaching, people fell dead. I didn't even make an appeal. You think you've got presumptuously the end of the sermon to wait for another? You can have a little choice, you know. Be careful, you don't know. I stopped preaching and people fell dead. As I've preached. I have seen so many that died in moments. Not because I was with them. God knew it, it was God's last call. He just drove me to that. And within minutes, there were dead young people. You think you've got to wait until you're old before this thing called age comes? Do you know that most people that die in the next week are under the age of 24? Worldwide, do you know that? Mm-hmm. According to the United Nations, because of the mass explosion of population, you think you can get all of it? No. No. The most harshly the Lord, while today, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. If you will harden your hearts, as in the day of provocation, as in the occasion of God's life and death, and then out from his anger, then rejection of his voice. Oh, now I can say, now he speaks to your time to God. Today. Don't let the fool believe tomorrow's coming. No. Now. You don't know tomorrow's coming. You know today's coming. Today. See the Lord, why he may be found. Call ye upon him. Why he is here. He's near to you. Let me tell you something. Walk away from when you know God's near. You will be lucky if you're coming here. Be careful, don't play the fool with God. See ye the Lord, why he may be found. Call ye upon him. Who says a call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? O God of Isaac. Ask and shall be given you. Seek and he shall find. Knock and shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks will receive it. And he that seeketh find it. And he that knocketh it shall be opened. What more can God do to save you? Nothing. What more can God say to make you? Nothing. You choose hell. Will you go to hell? After you had the gospel, it's your choice. Because there's nothing more God could have had than this book. Or anyone that knows this book, do it. Oh, see the Lord, while he may let a call be upon him, where he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the very unrighteous man sought and then return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. To our God, he will abundantly upon him. Look. That is the chapter after Christ's death, this is prophesied by Isaiah 53, 2 chapters in history. The first appeal that ever was made in the light of what Christ on the cross was most right. Oh, everyone that thirsts, don't waste your life buying and rubbish. It's not going to stand you. It's free, it's gospel, it's by grace, through faith, that's all. Come with nothing in your hands. See how God takes your nothing in mind and sends you to the cross. Come with nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing you can come until you do just that. God can't even look at your prayers. You need to bring $1 million. Go to hell. Come with nothing. He did it all by me, Father. Call him on my ear. God now commanded all the men everywhere. Turn, run. The old preachers used to pray. You preach that today, you'll burn. You'll be surprised who lights the matches, who lights the fire. So you're raising 9, are you? So you're. How old are you? My wife gave her life to Jesus when she was been a doctor to this day, she's in the 50s. At that moment, God saved her soul. She never ever responded without another meeting. Never felt the need. She knew the Holy Spirit poured in with this Holy Spirit. And God was her father. She became a child of God. God reaches out to the young, the 16-11-year-old, to 91-year-old. When the wind of God's Holy Spirit, and you think of it, your place to come to me, it'll be to you and by the very day. No way. You're here with all the power of hell against you and hating God who died for all men to such a degree that there's no possibility you would have been here outside the grace and mercy of God that you can still reject. Your own free will, that God's cry, that God's mercy, that God's sovereign will. By coming here, you knew what God had to do to get you here. You can save me with this enemy. But you can say no to this God. Whether you're 11 or 6 or 19. When were you born again? You know the day you were born, a child of your father and mother, that's all you got, but you got the day. When did you become God's child? Because Nicodemus, if you don't know that, as clearly as you know the day you were born, a child of your father and mother, you will never ever see a child of God if you ever do. So what are you going to do? With this Jesus. Even if he died for you. Is your pride going to make you incapable of admitting, I'm going to hell and I need him? And you're going to have that pride.
Every angel in heaven is waiting.
these ladies who know how to pray, won't preach another sermon, just pray with you. And they give you literature and phone you up to make sure you're doing it right. The things in bed now. And you will do. And will. Just put your hand in touch with this anyone. And I will ask him again. And we'll pray for you. Anyone. That is your decision. Now, Father, take everyone that's breathing and mercy if it's on the way home. It is poor on the road and say, heaven, in case I don't make it, I'm going to say, be the same way because of my faith in Jesus Christ now. And that Christ who lives now, not only was in his blood, but my faith in what he did in the cross before my life. And I will be knowing this moment I'm saved that I never fear death again in my life. My whole life will be transformed. I will love that book from this day to the day I die, because this is one of the greatest things about the process. It is that book becomes my life the moment I find eternal life. Oh, I will find eternal life now. Take those in mercy that in the valley of decision and follow them in mercy, God, put me in thy heart to spare them. And those of us who know to help us do not pass souls, but to give them the truth of the words we've heard today concerning life, its brevity, its folly, if we have not prepared to meet with God, and its certainty of death. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Can we stand on it?
Amen.
So, is there time for the dear ladies to see us watch now? That's not the whole thing, the first verse and the last. Is there time? Anyone objects to that in your chair and tell us why? Can you please come forward? Could you just put that music on again? Someone help the lady immediately. So we don't have to always. None of us are going to speak while we wait for this moment. We're just going to wait in the reverence and not interrupt God's voice. So you will take this, and I hope this works this time.